So now to the city of Kandahar, Afghanistan. This city may just turn out to be the decisive battle in the war against the Taliban, a U.S. war, a NATO war. Kandahar is, in some sense, the Taliban capital, and they are undoubtedly hoping the battle for Kandahar becomes Obama's Waterloo. But as Richard Oppel Jr. reports, along with his two colleagues, Tom Shanker and Helene Cooper, in today's New York Times, the battle for Kandahar may be like no other battle in military history. Will it be decisive? Richard Oppel Jr., the New York Times correspondent, joins us from Kabul. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. How are you?
So first of all, let's talk about the details today. The UN has told Afghan employees to stay in their homes on account of deteriorating security in Kandahar, and there appears to be some major battle taking place between special operations forces on the outskirts of Kandahar and what appear to be Taliban forces. What's going on?
Right. Well, there's been more violence today. There's been a series of bombs that have gone off. One apparently was intended to kill one of the deputy police chiefs in the city. There were two people killed and one wounded. And as we reported this morning, there's been quite a bit of activity by special operations forces in and around the city in the last few weeks in preparation for the main part of the offensive.
Let's talk about the outlines of this offensive. And we should say that the amazing details in your story in the New York Times this morning are part of, it seems, an orchestrated campaign to signal to the Taliban that this is really, really serious and that resistance is futile. But how is that going down in Kandahar itself?
Well, it's pretty clear that the Kandaharis are getting more and more worried. They've been hit hard by violence in the city. You know, the American military officials tell us privately that they've taken out a lot of these insurgent leaders in the last couple of weeks, but still violence seems to be getting worse and worse and not better. And it makes you wonder sort of how effective that all really is going to be before the main offensive. And even before the last few months ramp up in violence by the Taliban there, you know, there was a survey done in late December commissioned by the U.S. military where Kandahari's overwhelmingly by a margin of 19-1 favored negotiating with the Taliban instead of continued fighting. So there's quite a bit of fear of foreign forces and fear of more fighting.
And that is going to have real tactical significance. The NATO forces really have to turn the civilian population quickly, and that's why U.S. forces and NATO forces, it appears, according to your reporting, aren't going to have a real high profile in the center of Kandahar when the forces begin to go in.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, that's the plan. I mean, the reality is that they're already using American special forces to do quite a bit of stuff in the city in advance of that. So, I mean, there is going to be a heavy reliance in some measure on American forces, but in terms of visibility to the average Kandahari, they want to keep the American and NATO profile as low as possible. I mean, the reality is some things just certainly aren't going to get done or even attempted to get done unless American and NATO forces are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to have to be some involvement on their end, and there already is some involvement. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of the political plan here is to make this appear to be more an Afghan, as much as possible, an Afghan offensive and not an American and NATO offensive.
And to that end, you would think, although in Afghanistan, reality tends to be a little bit different, you would think that having the president's brother in Kandahar would be an asset for Afghan forces going in. But describe how the presence and the power of Ahmad Wali Karzai, the brother of Hamid Karzai, is maybe more of a complication than it is an asset.
Well, he's the most powerful official in southern Afghanistan, and he's, on the one hand, he does have a lot of supporters there, and he does have links with or suspected links with insurgents. On the other hand, he's viewed, in the view of Western officials, he's viewed by a lot of Kandaharis as being sort of the epitome of why governance is so bad and why there's been such fertile ground for the Taliban there and to grow in power in recent years because of the view that the government is corrupt and feckless and only serves to benefit a few people.
And so then let's describe, before we go, the final sort of really the operating premise of your piece in the New York Times, and that is that this battle for Kandahar, when it finally does get started, is really going to be unprecedented in a number of ways, in the way that it has to get the civilian population on board, the sensitivity of using tactical forces and special operations forces, as well as the full NATO forces, and just the general character and culture of Kandahar sets it apart.
That's right. I mean, it's the most it's the Taliban heartland. It's their spiritual home, and there's if not a loyalty, then certainly an identification with the Taliban. It might be greater than any other major city in Afghanistan. And the poll I talked about, it was commissioned by the U.S. Army. 5 out of 6 Kandaharis describe the Taliban as our Afghan brothers. At the same time, they blame the Taliban for bringing in security. The other point you raise is an important one, and it's a great concern to U.S. commanders, that the killing of civilians by NATO and American troops, it's actually been increasing this year with the stepped-up number of operations. It's increased. It's up 2.5 times the first 3 months of the year what it was last year. It's reversed the trend we saw last year. That's really a big fear, because that's something that really, in the view of the commanders here, really robs the NATO mission of a lot of trust from the local people that are needed for it to succeed.
It's an amazing quote in your article. Nobody knows who the good cops are and who the crooks are. Who gave you that quote, and are you buying it?
That's part of the issue here. It's not simply just a distinct militancy. I mean, there's a mafia-like structures down there. There are just criminals. There are some people who are driven by real ideology, but it's a whole mix of that, and it's not just simply one thing. There's a lot of different things at play.
And it's all Kandahar. Richard Apple Jr. is the New York Times correspondent in Kabul, Afghanistan. And Kandahar, where the battle begins later on this year, described as a cross between The Wire and The Sopranos in a New York Times piece that you can read now.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.